Okay, what you're about to hear is a paid sponsorship by our sponsor, BetterHelp. I totally support what they do. I have had therapy. I have had things that kept me from being happy, things that got in my way. So my question to all of you is there something that interferes with your happiness? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Connect in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. Anything you share is confidential. It's convenient, professional, affordable. Just check out the testimonials posted daily on their site. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting BetterHelp at betterhelp.com/Bob. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Bob.
A gift of fine jewelry holds so much meaning. It can really mark a moment. That's why I love being a jewelry consultant at Shane Company. I get so much joy helping our customers find something special for the people they love. Like the customer in the military who wanted to propose to his girlfriend before he was deployed. We rushed to get the engagement ring ready for him, and he was overwhelmed with gratitude. Or the customer who survived cancer. The whole time she was in treatment, her grown daughter was by her side, taking care of her. She told us her daughter had a heart of gold, and to show her appreciation, she gave her a 14-karat gold heart necklace. Another customer came in to get his wife a gift to celebrate their growing family. They were adopting a baby. He picked out a beautiful necklace with the child's birthstone. It's precious moments like these that make my job so meaningful.
Now you have a friend in the jewelry business, Shane Company and ShaneCo.com.
Hey, and welcome to the 101st, 101 Dalmatians of podcast episodes. And I am really happy that my guest is who it is today. She has been a friend of mine since she's 9 or 10 years old. My facts are never right. I'm always off a year or two. It's Andrea Barber, who played Kimmy Gibbler on Full House and Fuller House. So there you go. And she's on a show right now that she's shooting that's going to be coming out in September on Nickelodeon. And it's called That Girl Lele. So you're going to want to see that. She's a principal. She's like a grown-up Kimmy Gibbler principal. And she also wrote a book called Full Circle, From Hollywood to Real Life and Back Again. And that's her, the very sweet and amazing Andrea Barber. People want to know her age. She doesn't care if I tell you. She's 34, and she still seems like that kid that I knew. And I don't know. We've always been friends. We've always seen each other, 20 years between Full and Fuller House, and always loved her and always will. She's just a genuine person. And it's funny that she has the name Hollywood on the front page of her book. From a couple years ago. It's a really good read, by the way. It's very honest. You know what to do with this show. That doesn't sound nice. Yeah, you know what you could do with this show. I know you're talking to me, but I won't do your voice. You subscribe, and then you listen to it. Then you get to hear it. You can download it if you want. Downloading's cool. You can rate, review it. It's up on the YouTube page, which is youtube.com/Bob Saget. And it's on every single platform. You can follow it on certain platforms. Just rate, review it, subscribe, listen, and enjoy it, because I sure love doing it. 101 episodes and 2,000 more to go. No pressure. Here we go. Here comes my friend for so many years, and you'll know why after you see how wonderful and charming and lovely she is. Andrea Barber. Andrea, hi.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. I've been traveling. I'm doing stand-up again everywhere.
Oh, good. I hope you come to my hometown. Don't say it on the air here.
I won't, but I will be there. And I won't make you curse at me in the audience like you always do as we set up.
Oh, right, right. Well, what? And then one time I missed my cue. I was in the bathroom and you called me out and I didn't hear you because I was in, it was my Christine Lottie moment or whatever her name is. Yeah. It was a crazy
it was moment. You know, what's interesting is people, all the stand-up that I did, and you guys, in 2007, you guys were younger. How old were you in 2007? That's when I did that special, That Ain't Right.
Oh, well, how old was I? 30. I was 30.
And that's when you would come to my show, and that's when I would say, like, weird stuff that, and you would be like, you just knew it was me. And
right. It's no big deal. But no. Fans will come up to me, and they'll be like, have you heard Bob's stand-up where he talks about you? And I'm like, yeah, duh. Like, it's no right. big deal for me. I grew up with him. I understand his humor. Everyone else is horrified. But I'm just like, eh, no big deal. It's just a Tuesday.
Well, we've been friends the whole time. I mean, yeah. And I was so glad that Fuller happened. I mean, then I got to even know you more, really.
Yeah, as an adult. That was so special. It was so special to get to do it again. And you were always just such a great leader and a great ambassador for the show. And it was just so beautiful getting to do that again. And we had better perspective as adults and so much rich appreciation for getting to do it all over again. It was so, so special. I miss it. I miss it a lot.
Yeah. I wish it could have gone longer because it deserved to, because you and Candace and Jody really are the reasons that that thing succeeded. I mean, it was 6 years. Some people say it's 5 years because they split one of the seasons.
Oh, right, right. It felt like six because
it did.
Yeah, we had a few seasons with 18 episodes, and then yeah, they kept splitting the. I think they did that so they didn't have to pay us more. They're like, oh, we'll just split this season in half instead of bringing you on.
That's smarter than there's no renegotiating when that happens.
I had dinner with Candace the other night when you texted
That's
me.
That's really weird that I texted you right when you were with her. We had like a second family connection. We just do.
We really do. We really do. And it was funny. Maybe we were even talking about you. I don't remember.
Oh, I hope so.
I hope we were talking. What were we saying? I don't know. We had like a 3-hour dinner. It was so great because I haven't seen her in forever. And we had the time. And so we went out for a 3-hour dinner and then you texted and I was like, oh, I'm having dinner with Candace. But I heard so many songs last week that made me think of you, like the I'm a Creep song from the 90s.
Yeah, I used to play it in the car. Dave Chappelle sang it with the Foo Fighters at Madison Square Gardens. They opened Madison Square Gardens on Sunday night and Dave Chappelle got on stage. I was with Dave the night before on Saturday night, and that was the opening of Radio City Music Hall for his documentary, which is about comedy camp, and that was pretty wonderful. And I went there to try to keep my sanity, but he sang Creep. It's one of his favorite songs. And what else were you thinking of? What other music?
I don't know what I heard, but it was all those songs that we would listen to in the 90s, like before the show or in your car.
I'm a loser by Beck.
Yes, that's the other one.
There were a lot of them.
There was a lot of them. Even just the Indiana Jones. Was it Indiana Jones?
Yeah, I would pretend I was cutting my chest open like a cereal box when we were young and had the little mini cereal boxes. And I would sing. And I would just take out, these are inside jokes, people. This is what we would do to play. This is what went on during Full House in between doing the lines. And they would go, Bob, we need you on the set. And I go, wait, I'm not done. And it was Raiders of the Lost Guts. And the premise is I pull all my guts out and then I lasso things and then I swing across a ravine. But I realize that I don't have any guts anymore. So I just die at the end of the bit. So it's really not worth having told people, but I'm not editing it out.
It's so worth it. It's so just the visual. It would get us rolling. Like we would laugh every time. Like that never got old ever. And some of your jokes did get old, but that one never got old.
Yeah, they did. Well, Dave's did too. Dave would always do the same jokes, but he was so funny.
Oh, so funny. So funny.
I think that's why the show worked. Now, you came in not the first year.
I did 5 episodes season 1.
See what a good memory I have?
And then built up. And then, well, Lori came, because Lori came in season 2.
Right.
I came in season 1, but I only did 5 episodes. And then it just built, you know, I did more and more until I was finally a regular, I don't know what, season 5 or something. But yeah, I was there, not the pilot, but I did like the 3rd episode or something. I don't remember. I was 10.
Yeah, I don't remember. I was 30.
No way.
I was 30 crazy. Years old, and I had, DJ was 9. So that means that my deceased wife, Pam, and I, the premise of Full House, I was 21 when we had conceived.
Oh, conceived, right.
I can say conceived because you're 45 years old. So
44 for 2 more weeks. Don't forget my birthday. I just looked it up.
That's that's what my research does for me. What's great about the podcast is I always go, so you weren't on the first season. No, I did 5. So you're 45. I'm 44. My stats are,
you're close. You're like truth adjacent. Like you're almost
Thank you.
Adjacent.
So in your book, do you talk about the stuff that we all did that, was it mostly your experience through your eyes? I read some of it. I apologize for not reading the whole thing. I didn't read my own book.
Right. Well, your wife read my book. So that's all, you know.
She told me she loves you.
She read it in like a day. Like, she's awesome. I love Kelly.
She really is great. And I got the cliff notes.
Yeah. I think she read you the parts where I talked about you. And I, like, they're all very flattering. Like, I think you were very flattered and honored that I said really nice things about you. And I meant all of them.
You didn't lie?
No, why would I lie? It's a memoir. Like, it's supposed to be an honest look at my childhood from my perspective. And so I put some of the inside, like the funny bits from my perspective. And none of it ever, in my opinion, crossed the line, at least when I was on set. Like, it was just silly. It was just humor, and none of it was ever inappropriate or over the line, especially when the kids were around. I just have funny little anecdotes, but I don't know if it was you or Dave, but some crazy fan was being stalkerish with John, and it was like kind of tense and weird. And suddenly we had like metal detectors on the set, and like there was a lot of tension. But right before we were going out for intros to be introduced to the audience, you know, John's like making the sign of the cross and everything. And I don't know if it was you or Dave who leaned over to him and said, "Can I have your parking space?"
Oh, that was right me. Before,
that was you. Okay, see, that it was me. You.
Yeah, because we thought his life was in danger. So I thought that if I had his parking space, my life would get a little better.
Well, it was great. It broke the tension. It broke the ice. It was just a funny. And then we went on and had a great show, and everything was awesome. So it was silly stuff like that.
And John and I were so close too, but not as close as Dave and I were. And then a few years in, it changed. And John and I mean, I'm brothers with both of them.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You guys are so close. It's a beautiful thing to witness and to be a part of it. Yeah, no, I love you guys. I have such good memories from the set. And you were great. You were dad figures. You were funny. Like, we always felt taken care of as kids. Like, it was just that's how I attribute the success of Fuller House to you guys, because you taught us what a family set is like. What, you know, a loving set where you care about each other, you're funny, you do good work, and then you go home. And that's where we learned it. Like, we learned all those leadership skills from you being the leads of the show and making it a family environment. Like, it's all because of you guys that it's trickled down into this multiple generation thing. You know, and hopefully we passed it on to the kids on Fuller House, so that when they're leading Fullest House or whatever, we're going to be all geriatric. And
I always say Fullest House will be me in an urn by the window. It's just a little cough now and then. But I'll be with Pam.
And all of the deceased spouses on the show.
We did a lot of death jokes because that was diffusing also. And we also had a lot of deaths. John lost his dad, and I lost my dad. But my dad, I think my dad survived Full House, but not Fuller.
Okay.
Yeah, he wasn't around. But it was so beautiful that you guys took over the show, that you had the show, that Fuller House was created to be a show about three enabled women who are surviving because Candace lost her husband, same premise as the original.
Right, right.
Now, what did you, I saw commercials of you when you were young. How did you get these comedy gifts? How could you be so damn funny and walk in the door and take your shoes off, put them on the table? Everybody goes, oh, how could you be so spot on perfect? I never saw you flub a line.
No, that I did. That came, you know, kids don't. Kids, even today, like kids are like sponges. They just absorb their lines and they're word perfect. I don't know how. I think it's just because when you're a kid, you don't have any of the adult things to worry about. So you can memorize your lines and they stick. Now as an adult, I have to work at it. Like I really have to work at memorizing my lines. But as far as the comedy thing, hell if I know. Like I didn't plan for Kimmy Gibbler to be the way she was. Like I don't know. I think I got everything from my mom. Like she was a talented actress and a talented writer. And anything that I'm good at is because of her. I inherited it from her and I watched her growing up. And any compliment I receive is really a compliment to her because that's where I got it.
That's really sweet.
And
we just lost her.
Yeah, so January. I know.
How
Very
are you,
sad.
How are you getting through?
I'm okay. I mean, it was harder. It was hard during the pandemic being isolated from her. You know, because she was at very high risk being, you know, she had a lung disease and so she couldn't be around anybody and risk getting COVID. So it was hard being away from her. And it was hard towards the end of last year when she was declining and we kind of knew this was coming and we didn't know when it was going to be. And there were some really difficult decisions that had to be made. So all of that was very stressful and very traumatic and sad. And it was just all of the emotions. And then she passed away in January and my whole family was there with her. And we had this really intense week of hospice where it was just like the whole rest of the world disappeared. Like we were finally together again after almost a year of being isolated from each other. And I just moved into her home and was there for her and up in the night with her, whatever she needed. My brothers came over and we were all with her when she passed. It was a very, transcendent and spiritual moment to take care of my mother who took care of me, my whole life. And then to get to return that favor, not favor, but to return that gift to her, at the end of her life was just very, very profound. And it's very sad, but it was also, it's just something I'll carry with me for the rest of my life. And now it's like, I'm just helping my dad, you know, I'm helping my dad get used to being on his own for the first time in 60 years. He hasn't been single in 60 years, which is crazy.
Is he looking to play the field?
No, Bob, no, he's
you
very...
said being single, you know, being alone. Being alone. Yeah. Being single means that you want John and me to take him out.
No, I just meant like he's used to having a wife who's like the social director and making all the social plans or, you know, whatever. And he doesn't like, he's sort of like trying to figure out like if friends invite him out to dinner, he's like the only one without a spouse. And so there's an insecurity, I think, there.
It's hard.
I get it. You know, I've been divorced. You've been divorced. So I understand that.
I've been divorced. I forgot.
You forgot. It was a long time ago.
It was 20 years ago.
Oh, good God.
But we're still friends. We talk because life is life.
If life is too short to be angry or mad or whatever. No, I agree. Life's too short for petty.
It is. And for the negative.
Yeah.
I was thinking that you're the person you are because you, not unlike myself, and or John, where Candace had, or Jody, I mean, you think about it, had amazing parents, really wonderful, loving parents.
Right. Yeah, that's where it starts. It all starts at the top there. And we all of us had great parents, really great parents.
And it's hard. Yeah. And mine are not around, but I got pictures of them, but they look very small in the pictures. They're tiny little pictures. I mean, I can actually show you a picture of my mother here. It is, she's so tiny in it.
Your mom is so beautiful.
That's the size of her head.
Oh, she's, look at,
she
looks just like you. She's very tiny. Like if you had white hair, it was a little longer. Like you're a dead ringer.
It's white up here. It's white right here. And people think I color my hair. I just color right here.
Oh,
because it's like lo mein. it's been weird. I have like a gray yarmulke, and so I have hair in the crown, but I just have that. But if I don't do anything, this is the color of my hair. But sometimes it's gotten darker when they colored the crown, but went too far with it. It's a good story. Okay. I'm sure one that many people will want to know.
Maybe this will take over the headlines now, is your gray yarmulke hair.
My gray yarmulke crown. Okay, what you're about to hear is a paid sponsorship by our sponsor, BetterHelp. I totally support what they do. I have had therapy. I have had things that kept me from being happy, things that got in my way. So my question to all of you is there something that interferes with your happiness? Is something preventing you from achieving your goals? I've had that happen. I've hit walls. I wasn't able to even fill out a form sometimes in my life. And counseling, therapy has helped me. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Connect in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. Send a message to your counselor anytime. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly or video phone sessions, all without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. Licensed professional counselors who are specialized in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem. Anything you share is confidential. It's convenient, professional, affordable. Just check out the testimonials posted daily on their site. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting BetterHelp at betterhelp.com/Bob. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Bob.
My fiance surprised me with an engagement ring from Shane Company. A simple solitaire ring with a beautiful oval diamond. I love it. I had a vision of what I wanted to do with the wedding bands to create my own look and add even more sparkle. Shane Company has so many options, so it was easy to bring it to life. I got 2 bands. I selected a diamond contour band to go on one side of my engagement ring and a delicate vintage band to go on the other. It's a unique ring stack and it fits my style. It's totally me. My fiancé got his wedding band at Shane Company, too. I had no idea what he'd gravitate to because he never wears jewelry. He tried on lots of rings. Turns out, he really liked a black tantalum band. It's masculine and unique, and it suits his personality. The wedding is really soon, and I can't wait to wear my gorgeous new rings every day.
Now you have a friend in the jewelry business, Shane Company and ShaneCo.com.
You're 8 years old. You're not Kimmy Gibbler. How did that come about?
Well, it was well before 8. I was 4. And my family was just very different. Like we all did community plays. That was like our family hobby, mainly because my mom was an actress and she did all of the local plays. And every once in a while, she dragged the rest of us into these plays, like, you know, Christmas Carol and all of these holiday plays. And so it's sort of, we got involved with an agent. Judy Savage was my agent. And I don't know if I got discovered at one of these plays or whatever, but the next thing I know, my brothers and I are going in to her office to interview, and she was teaching us how to slate. Because I was four and I didn't know how to slate. And she said, okay, you just say, hi, I'm Andrea Barber and I'm from the Savage Agency. And I was, me being 4 years old, I was like, hi, I'm Andrea Barber and I'm from the Average Agency. And she laughed and laughed. And then she signed me right there, and my brothers too. So my first job was a commercial for Velveeta cheese, which, yeah, but. Yeah,
I know. I don't even think it's cheese.
It's not dairy, that's for sure.
I used it as wood filler.
You could use it as a paperweight. Like, you know, it's very multi-use cheese.
They're one of my sponsors. They were.
I also did one of my other early commercials was for prunes, like those, I don't know what brand, but whatever brand. Yeah. And I had to eat all, and thank God there was a spit bucket, but not enough of a spit bucket, because that goes
right
through you.
Seriously? You spent a whole day eating prunes?
Yeah. I've been regular since then.
That's not a young person's fruit.
No. Maybe it was a campaign to get kids to eat more prunes. I don't know.
There's nothing like a five-year-old with diarrhea. I mean, it's the best.
I think that was their campaign slogan. There's nothing like a five-year-old with diarrhea.
So then what happened? You just kept going out on stuff?
I did a lot of commercials because commercials were very important back in the 80s. Like that, we actually had commercials. And then I did, then I landed my first big job, which was on Days of Our Lives, 3.5 years. I was the first Carrie Brady. And that was crazy work. Like that's like boot camp for actors, is being on a soap. Like that's not easy stuff, but that's where I learned how to cry on command. That's where I learned how to memorize lines, because you got to learn a new script every single day. But it was fun. That was a good environment too. And I got fired. I got fired at the age of 9 because they wanted to age my character for like some teenage storyline, like some teenage love storyline or something. So my character went upstairs to play with her toys and came back downstairs as like a 16-year-old. But
so
then
time passed on the show is what I'm assuming.
In a day, yeah. But
that was the idea. Was did the other characters get older also, or just yours?
No, just mine. It's a soap opera. You know how these? It's an alternate universe. Nothing
Wait
actually
a minute.
Makes
so
sense.
So all the other actors on Days of Our Lives stayed the age their character was.
Yeah.
How could that? That's so. Not. That's not a good idea.
Well, because when you're an adult, you kind of look the same for several years at a time, and then kids. Kids change every year, so they needed.
But the storyline played it as though a few years had passed, right?
Yes.
That's all I wanted to get to. It's very important for people listening that they're
critical.
Not confused.
This is the make it or break it moment of the entire podcast, right?
It
here,
is
getting these dates correct.
I'm a wealth of accuracy, and so far, everything I've brought up, I have been wrong on every single one. That's a trivia game. What did Bob get right on this podcast? On this podcast? I'm just excited to talk to you because you're my friend. So it's like weird. But I'm asking you questions so people will know, because that's what this is. People are listening and they love Kimmy Gibbler. So you're fired from Days of Our Lives and Full House happens like pretty quick, right?
It was pretty quick. I read for DJ first, obviously didn't get that, but.
You didn't? I really don't remember much. Will you show me where the sunroom is?
Anyway, shortly after the DJ rejection, which it wasn't a big deal. People like to make a bigger deal out of this. Like, oh, she was rejected for the role. And I'm like, no, you go out for a million auditions and you get rejected by most of them. So it's really not a big deal. But they brought me back to read for Kimmy Gibbler. Which was supposed to be like a one episode job. And then it turned into this major part of my life for the last 35 years. So yeah, it's crazy. I mean, we had no idea. We had no idea it was going to turn into what it turned into, which was this mega, mega hit. that's never been off the air. Like, who could have guessed that the first season?
And the first 4 years, the show was on Tuesday nights. Everybody always thought it was TGIF the whole way, but it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
It didn't do well. We were on against Seinfeld for a while, and they didn't do well. And we didn't do well. And then look how it turned out. I mean, and they owned the show, which is really good. Well, Jerry did.
Oh, yeah.
And Larry. We didn't. The only thing that I thought that maybe they were going to give Yankee Doodle Boy ownership. he was on Fuller. He was at the wedding. What's his name?
He was at the wedding. Blake Ewing?
Yeah.
Yeah, Blake Ewing.
He is such a good guy. He is so great.
And he's so funny. Like, he still has that timing and that.
Yeah, some people just become a better version of what they were when they were young. You're like that. You're literally one of the most genuine people that I know.
Oh, Bob.
And you were a child actor also. Think about it. All the crap that comes with it, and so much, usually it's vices that come with it, or lack of love once the show ends.
Mm.
All that. So when Full House ended, you were 17?
I think I was 18 because I was in my first year of college.
So I'm only off 1 year on everything I bring up.
You're off on 1 year on everything.
I won't be late for your birthday.
And maybe I was 17. I don't know, but I was in my first year of college.
I'm just going by Candace's age, but you're a year older than Candace, apparently?
No, I'm 4 months younger.
Now, I don't know. Her interview was different. We're going to have to run them side by side when we listen to the podcast.
Maybe I'm wrong. Just go with whatever Candace says, because she's right.
She is right quite a bit, but we're doing this, and I've got some things right.
You're about 40% right on everything so far.
for someone that I spent half my life with. So the show goes off the air and you're in college. So that was, and you decided not to be a theater major, right?
Oh no, I was done. I was just like, this was fun as a child, but I'm done. And that's the point of college, I think, is to learn different things and to find new passions, which I did. I studied English literature and, you know, worked in study abroad at my university. So you're going to say some joke about studying abroad.
Yes. Not anymore. No, you're seconds from getting canceled if I make jokes like that. Not you. I mean, that's my life.
That's your life. Right.
Right.
But yeah, no, I lived a very normal life. I got married. I had kids. I stayed home with those kids. I was a stay-at-home mom when they were little babies. I wasn't planning to return to the business until Jeff Franklin called out of the blue and was like, "Hey, we're gonna reboot this thing. Let's, you know, hop on board." And I was like, "Okay, cool."
And it took 10 years to get to that. It was John and always calling me saying they want to redo it. Warner Brothers is serious. Jeff has an idea. I want to reboot it. And then I said, can't we just do like a PG-13 movie version where Danny's drunk and everybody. And it went the right way. I think Fuller House was, I loved the fact that the three of you were headlining it and running. It was such a great experience for you. And I also can't believe that you were, I haven't heard one person say, well, when the show stopped, I was really upset and didn't know where to go, what to do. Most people want to get away from acting, but then are sad about it. Mm-hmm. But other people want to turn it into the career of their life, and then there's a difficult transition, except for we know who all those people are, those really cool people that were great actors at four that continue till they're older. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I look at you and you're so sane about it. It's so healthy that you just wanted to go learn. So what did you do now? You're in school. It's 20 years between the end of Full House and the beginning of Fuller House.
Wow, that's crazy. That long? Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
20 years. That's crazy. What did I do? I didn't go to college for 20 years. I know that.
You did. You got held back.
I got held back many times. No, I've always enjoyed like just a quiet, private life. I'm a very shy person. Like I'm not like Kimmy Gibbler. I'm pretty quiet for the most part. I just sort of shy away from the spotlight. So I was very happy just studying and just working. I was traveling a lot because I was working in international education. It was great. And then just being a mom for many, many years, and then getting divorced, like that took up a lot of time. Getting divorced and
it does.
Talking to lawyers a lot. That took a, you know, good chunk of time. I've forgotten those years. So maybe that's why it didn't seem quite like 20 years.
Yeah, divorce makes things go by really quickly.
It does.
It's like, when's this hell going to be over? Not the marriage, but the divorce part, because divorce is incredibly painful.
Oh, it's awful. It's just the worst aspects of yourselves come out, you know, and I'm just like, I don't like who I am. Like, I don't like who he is, and I don't like who I am. Like, it's just a very ugly, ugly process that takes years to heal from that and to get to a point where you just aren't angry anymore. And now it's fine. And, you know, Jeremy, my ex-husband, and I, we talk, we have keys to each other's houses. We babysit each other's dogs. Like, you know, we're great. It's fine. It's better. We're better versions of ourselves now that we're in this place, in a good co-parenting space and lots of respect for each other. That's how it should be. You know, that's what you hope for.
You're a damn role model.
Eh.
My God, they should give you an award.
I put on a good act. I put on a really good act.
Well, I've known you forever, and the thing is, we didn't stop seeing each other. So a couple times a year, we'd all see each other.
Right.
And Jeff was the glue. John was the glue.
Yeah.
And we'd be at parties and we'd be singing and it would look like a Full House episode. It was
totally.
And it's interesting. And some people were upset that Mary-Kate and Ashley didn't join Fuller House, but I don't understand why people didn't understand that they didn't want to act.
Yeah. I understood that. I fully respect it. I'm like, yeah, you go, girls. Like I totally get it. They just didn't want to be in this world anymore. And I'm like, yeah, it's a lot. And they get a lot of attention no matter what they do. Yeah. And it would have been a whole new whirlwind of press and scrutiny and God knows what if they came back into it. So I fully respect that decision for them just to say, nope, we're not doing it. And they stood by it despite all the pressure from all sides, I'm sure. That wanted them, the public really wanted them to come back to the show. And we would have loved it if they did, but I respect that they didn't. And it's not a big deal. Like the press wants to turn it into this, like, oh.
Yeah, I know.
Negative thing. I'm like, it's not a negative thing. It is what it is.
No,
you know?
It's sad for the fans, but they have to do what's right for them and for makes them happy. And they're so successful and their clothes are so damn cool. They're literally like amazing.
Yeah, no.
I wear them, and they, well, it's mostly lady stuff, but I looked, I thought maybe the James line had some stuff for me, but none of it fits. But Kelly has some of their stuff. I mean, they're just,
yeah.
And I've kept in touch with them, and they're just lovely. So, totally. You know, people, it's a shame people turn things into things that are not necessary to turn into dramas or, you know, just the craziness that I would do on the set. You guys weren't there, and it was just John, Dave, and me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, it wasn't even that severe. I just went a little nuts sometimes. Well, I was going through a divorce, so that's another thing. That was my first of my many midlife crises.
Yeah, no, it's not easy to go. I don't know how you did that. You go through a divorce and then show up to work and be funny and pretend like everything's okay. And it's horrible. I just wanted to like crawl in bed and cover my head and not talk to anybody for 6 months. Yeah. Like I was lucky to have a very private divorce and I wasn't on TV or in the public eye, or, you know, it was very private. And I thank God for that, because that's what I needed at the time. So,
and the pain is for the kids, what the kids go through. So I was in a lot of pain, and I took it out with my comedy, which is what I always do. I guess if I had a do-over, I probably would have kept my mouth shut a little more, you know.
But that's not, I mean, but you're just you, and there's never any, I mean, people who are going to make things up or, you know, criticize, like, they don't know you. And like, there's never any malintent. There's never anything, except you just want to be funny and make people laugh. And that's not a crime, you know, that you're just Bob. You have a big heart, and those people that know you know that you're just you. You're you. And there's nothing sinister or weird. Like, you're just a lovely person. And that's my hope, is that everybody knows that.
I love you, Andrew. I want you to do my epitaph. I want you to speak at my funeral, which is going to be 40 years from now, because I've got a lot of people to take care of.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. We'll put your urn up there on the Full House living room set.
It'll be so great. What did you steal from the show? What do you have?
I didn't steal anything great, but this was on the fire mantle, the fireplace mantle. It's a picture of me, Candace, and Jody as kids.
Oh my God.
We all had really bad hair, but that was the 90s.
Not really.
And then I stole, I have all my, look, I have props. I have props, Bob. I have like all my Kimmy Gibbler scarves. The food related, like the cupcake scarf and the bacon and egg scarf. Like, I kept all of those. and then I stole the Ben Franklin bust from the kitchen desk. Did you ever see that?
That's a big one.
Yeah, because that was like, we would call Bob Boyette Ben Franklin, because his hair resembled Ben Franklin towards the end of Fuller House.
Our wonderful exec producer who started Full House and did Fuller, and also was a big Broadway producer and a lovely man, put us all together, hired us. So
yep, he's responsible for much of the success of the show. And
Tom Miller, who is not with us, and Jeff Franklin.
Yeah.
Now what?
Good people.
Really good people, because they love the values of the show.
Yeah. Totally.
Now here you are with Kimmy Gibbler stuff, always, you know, being the one that comes in there. There was a show, Leave It to Beaver. And you couldn't call a show that now, of course. It would be canceled. But Eddie Haskell was the neighbor that would always come over. Did you ever hear comparisons of that with Kimmy?
Yeah, all the time. It was Eddie Haskell at first, and then Urkel came on the scene, and it was, you know, the Urkel comparisons. I'm honored to be in that club of annoying neighbors that show up. Like, this is... it's a thing, you know, we've been ranked, like annoying sidekicks. Like, we've been ranked, and I'm always like right up there in the top 10. So I consider it an honor. If I'm annoying, that means I'm doing my job. So it's definitely, I'm flattered to be included in this group of people of annoying sidekicks.
Now, what qualities, what things gave you the most pleasure when you were Kimmy that you would do to violate us? Because you did get attention when you just act like it was your home.
Oh yeah, no, your bits with me were the best. Like, people loved it, and I loved it, that I would just come in and zing you with whatever. I can't even remember any of the lines, but all of the Mr. T, whatever insults I would throw at you, and you would just get that look on your face where you were like, who the fuck is in my kitchen right now? It was so great.
And I would always say, can I have a comeback line to her and say something back? And they went, no, Danny doesn't do that. So that shows that I'm a good actor, because Bob, the comedian side of me, of course it's going to be a back and forth thing. We would be roasting each other, basically.
Of course, right.
But we would love each other as characters. But people call me Mr. T constantly. Like, if I'm on a TikTok, comments will be like, hey, Mr. T, you know, and I... You know, after a while, it's a weird thing to walk around in this Big Bird suit that I'm in. That is Danny Tanner. That is Mr. T to people. But that's, nobody else called me Mr. T.
No, it was me. I originated the Mr. T bit, and everyone loves it.
Did you think of it? Was it written or did you do it?
Oh, no, I didn't come up with that. Somebody wrote it. I don't know who. Lenny Rips. Like, I have no idea who wrote it. But
someone who liked consonants.
Yeah, the Mr. T bits. Like, and I loved in Fuller when we hosted Wake Up San Francisco together. That's one of my favorite episodes of Fuller House.
Yeah.
Where I was took over and you were horrified and trying to save the show. And it was great. Great stuff. I loved our bits together.
It was so fun after all these years. We had more scenes together in Fuller House, even though I was only on it a few times a season. We had stuff to play, especially at the end when it was like, I always loved you. And there were two beats of that in the last season.
Oh, right.
They did it once in the living room and then once at the wedding.
Well, and then I was carrying your grandbaby. I was, Kimmy was a surrogate for Stephanie's baby.
Yeah, I don't.
So there was a moment we had.
That's what I'm wondering. That upset me to no end.
Wait, why? Oh, Danny Tanner. Yeah, no, because then you were like indebted. Danny Tanner was indebted to Kimmy Gibbler.
Exactly.
And I'm sure that was eating him up inside.
Now, I think he mellowed. I think he did. I think he was a little sad. I think he didn't have a girlfriend. They tried to make his new girlfriend work, but it didn't happen. You know, he ended up being a single guy at the end, just like the show began.
Yeah, that's okay.
But that's Kimmy found the greatest love of her life, right?
Yeah, I loved Juan Pablo and his portrayal of Fernando. That was such a gift. But a lot of fans are like, "Oh, Kimmy should not have taken him back because he was a cheater." And I'm like, that was mentioned in one episode. That was mentioned in the pilot.
But then you can't say that in a relationship, though.
Well, yeah, okay.
I just cheated one time, Kimberlino.
But he was so devoted to Kimmy and his daughter, and like it ended up being, I think, a beautiful relationship. And yeah, it's all fiction, so it's easy to forgive and forget and move on for the sake of the show. But a lot of people were hung up on that for a while. But he's such a talented actor. I couldn't see it going any other way. But it's interesting that all the girls on the show, DJ, Stephanie, Kimmy, we all got coupled really quickly. In like, we all had boyfriends like within the first or second season. And then I'm like, well, okay, we got to stretch this out, guys. Like we're hoping for 5 or 6 seasons. So you got to stretch this out a little bit. But yeah, I was surprised they coupled us off as quickly as they did, but oh well.
Maybe that's from testing. I don't know when they run a show through or people at Netflix or Warner Brothers, what their notes are and what they would like to see. But there were some real fun moments. You had like Lucy moments, like Ethel and Lucy. You got to dress up and do the whole deal.
That was one of my favorites, was dressing as Lucy. Lucy and Ricky. We had a whole episode of being Lucy and Ricky.
Ethel wasn't in it?
Ethel wasn't in it. No, no, it was just
so
Lucy and
Ricky. There's another one I got wrong. This is, if you're keeping score, there's many. I could cut them out, but I'm going to leave them in because I'm...
Leave them in.
This is our relationship. I make mistakes and you correct me.
I could just be full of shit and making stuff up and making you feel bad for getting things wrong. Maybe it's
now,
that.
You cursed, Andrea, you've cursed twice. Am I responsible for that?
No, that's just because I'm old and cranky and stressed out. That's what
you ate a lot of prunes and Velveeta.
Yeah, who wouldn't be cursing after prunes and Velveeta cheese? Am I not allowed to swear on this podcast? Like, do you have to put
No, it's my podcast. It's fine.
Oh, okay. I was thinking.
It'd be funny that the one that's the most adult content is the one with Andrea Barber. I've had Bill Burr on here. You know, people have let loose. You also have always been such a good friend and always come to my stand-up shows whenever I'm playing in Orange County or anywhere nearby. And there have been times that you go, why didn't you tell me? And then you come backstage with your friends and it always makes me so happy. And then now you'll come and see the new stuff and you go, wow, there's not as much Full House anymore in your stand-up, because I'm becoming more responsible. I don't want to just go, hey, full house. Let me sign an autograph, cut a ribbon at a supermarket. You know, it's like,
well, you have to evolve. Like, you know, your material, I'm sure, evolves and changes as your life changes. And so it's a sign of the times. That's all. But no, I still want to come to your shows, even if you don't mention Full House at all.
I'll mention if you're there, for God's sakes. They go crazy.
They do.
And then we call security.
Well, and then there was the last time I came to, do you know I'm going to tell this story?
Yeah.
The last time I saw you were in town. And so I texted you and I'm like, hey, can I come to your show tonight? And you're like, sure, sure. Just how many tickets? I'll put your name. I'll leave your tickets at the box office. And I'm like, okay. So whatever. I can't remember how many tickets I asked for, but I get there and they were like, Jody Sweetin? No, we don't have Andrea Barber on here. We have Jody Sweetin's name on here.
No.
So then I get on the phone with Jody and I'm like, you didn't tell me you were coming to Bob's Improv. And she said, I'm not. I'm stuck. I'm at my house. I'm in my jammies. And I'm like, well, your name is on the list, so you better come down here. So for whatever, I don't know what happened to this day, how you got me mixed up with Jody and left her name at the box office.
I don't think I did it. I don't think it was my fault. I actually don't think I got this wrong. No, I would not have gotten that wrong. Even though I get busy or whatever, I honestly probably said she's from Full House and they probably thought Jody because of where
does
she...
They made an assumption.
Maybe she's been there before. I don't know. I don't know what the reason was, but...
I was only offended for like 5 minutes and then I was like, okay, whatever. They rectified it. It was fine.
I wish you would have called me. I could have talked you through those 5 minutes. I felt terrible.
No, I think I came to the late show. So you were probably already on stage and couldn't do anything about it. But it was just funny. And Jody ended up coming to the show. She's like, all right, I'm going to throw on some clothes and come to the show. And I think she missed the first set or whatever, but then she came and was there for your set. And it was great. Like, it was so fun. We had like this impromptu date night with Jody and our boyfriends and got to watch you, and it was a fun night. So yes, whoever's mistake it was, it ended up leading to a great night.
So Jody would not have come had her name not been on the list and you double checked.
Right. No, she wasn't planning to come, but I thought she was supposed to be there because her name was on the list. So I called her up and she was like, I guess I better get out there. My name's on the list.
I should have put the whole cast on the list and then everybody would have called everybody because we do get on chain texting sometimes.
Well, those are the best. Those our text conversations are a little out of control, but always fun. Like with the memojis or the whatever emojis. What are they called? Not memojis. They're
emojis.
Well, they're bitmojis. No, that's what they are.
Oh, bitmojis. Oh, yeah. Like Scott Wanger is big on the bitmojis.
But
emojis is what a lot of people do. They're not called they're emojis. I don't know why I'm giving them their own E.
But we could not sound older right now. They're emojis.
These kids today with their fingers and their phones. When I was a kid, we had phones that were the size of thimbles. No, we didn't. I had a phone with a curly cord hooked into my car when I would be at Full House.
I did too. That I thought I was so cool having that hooked that phone with the curly cord. Yeah.
What was your car? What car were you driving there?
I drove my mom's car for my first 2 years of driving. Then when I turned 18, I bought a car. And it was a Acura Integra, a little two-door Acura Integra.
Very reliable.
With the built-in phone. I thought I was so cool. And then I got rear-ended 2 weeks after I bought the car, right there on Barham, right outside I was going to an audition at lunch or something. I was going over the hill at Barham and there was suddenly construction and I couldn't merge in time and the van behind me rear-ended me and I was so upset that I turned right around, went right back to the studio and walked in and Janice Sweetin was right there. I started crying and she was like hugging me and making sure I was okay. So
did the person that hit you take responsibility?
No, he was on the job. He was driving a van. It was like a work van or something. And he tried to get out of he's like, let's not call insurance or whatever. I'm like, what? Yeah, it was very overwhelming for an 18-year-old who had just gotten rear-ended with her first major purchase in her life. So yeah, I had the Acura Integra. Candace had the Pathfinder. That was her, like, her first car.
I remember.
Was the Pathfinder. And I can't remember what you guys drove. I don't remember what you drove.
I always had some fast car.
That's Tracy Chapman. I got a fast car.
You got a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we'll get a job.
I'm Taryn.
And I'm Ashley.
And we are the hosts of Unsolicited Advice with Ashley and Taryn, the podcast where you send us your burning questions about life, love, family.
Whether those stories are happy, sad, scary, or mysterious, we read them on air and give you our raw, unfiltered, and mostly unprofessional advice.
So go subscribe to Unsolicited Advice with Ashley and Taryn on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you get embarrassed taking your shoes off all the time and stinking up the house with your feet?
No. I wasn't embarrassed. And the first time that joke was written, I thought it was fine and funny, but it went on too long. Like the writers were getting lazy. Like they just kept relying on that joke. And I thought, this is not like, you know, after the fourth, fifth, sixth time, I'm like, this joke isn't funny anymore. And then it followed me into my personal life where fans would meet me. And they were like, don't take off your shoes. Do your feet really stink? Like, people still ask me to this day, do your feet really stink? And I think, I'm like, come on, really? There's no other question you want to ask me except, do I have foot odor?
They ask me if I vacuum my refrigerator. Because I guess I did it on the show. I don't remember. I remember vacuuming the vacuum cleaner because that was in 1 year's opening credits.
Oh, that's right. Vacuum.
Dust busting the vacuum cleaner. That was actually a great bit. I chose to be like that. I chose to be like Felix Unger from The Odd Couple. I wanted to be a neat freak, neurotic, and hug a lot. So I kind of brought hugging to the show.
You did. Now, is that how Danny Tanner... Because there was another actor before you that was both that did the pilot.
I feel guilty about it. Thank you for bringing that up. Makes me feel terrible.
No, you shouldn't feel guilty because I know they wanted you first and you weren't available. So they got this other guy.
That's the truth. I got fired from a CBS show. And he was a good, I thought he was really good. I watched the part of it, John Posey. Hmm. And I just think it's not nice that they put him on the DVD box set, that they put that pilot on there.
Oh, they did?
I don't think that, yeah. Yeah, oh. I don't like when people do stuff like that. It doesn't feel, doesn't feel polite to me.
That's weird.
How that would make someone feel.
Well, he's a good sport, and I think everything worked out for the way it was supposed to. But I didn't know if the cleaning bits and the hugging bits were originated by you, or if it was written in.
Was he hugging in his pilot?
I don't know. I
remember
I never watched
making
it.
A whole thing out of hugging because I was a big hugger.
Okay.
And then I would say stuff. There's a lot of love in this room. I would say that a lot. In the makeup room, I would say it. And we would always do these crazy things before we would start the show where we'd, like you were talking about with John before, how we'd always do the cheer before.
We'd do the huddle, right.
The huddle, and we'd full house, and then Dave would be yelling out some crazy things.
Yeah. I couldn't even understand him half the time. He would just start yelling at the top of his lungs or doing one of his
characters. I want to be naked in the jacuzzi. You know, just like, that's it. That's the cheer before we go out and do a show. And always in a weird voice and so
always
funny.
In a weird voice. Yeah.
So we acted like kids and you guys were laughing and that's what made it palatable, I think, to have not a long day, but in the beginning, they really had to take a lot of time to get all of the stuff when you guys were in it, when you were younger. And
right.
So we would have 6-7 hour, we'd have 8 to 10 hour shoot days the day before to get all the kids in the can, which doesn't sound like a nice thing. And then they would then do it in front of the audience. And that would go on sometimes where the audience would want to leave.
Right.
And then the second 4 years, it wasn't like that. You guys were older. Things moved quicker. Ashley and Mary-Kate knew their lines better than I did.
Right. They weren't babies anymore. So everything was a little smoother. And we could work longer hours on the set, too. We weren't limited to the baby hours. the child labor laws. So yeah, it did get smoother. It did get smoother and easier. And yeah, that was great.
Did you want it to go on? Because a lot of people were, I look at that last curtain call and I'm just standing off by myself. And John's holding you guys. Were you holding Dave? Dave was holding you.
I was hugging somebody. Yeah. I don't remember who.
Because we didn't know it was going to get canceled. We found out like that week.
That was terrible. That was the cruelest part, was that there was no time to write a proper finale.
Especially so we had that for awkward, you guys. Right.
Yeah. The Michelle and the horse and the amnesia. That was, I don't think anyone liked that storyline. Anyway, the fans, the actor, like nobody liked that story.
I didn't want, what's weird is I was the one that was overly protective of Ashley and Mary Kate because they were so young and the prime for that character was 3, 4, 5 years old when she would say these things that were so amazing and delivered so honestly with open eyes. And every little kids called it the Michelle Show for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah. No, people,
I was the one that said, you can't, don't give them gummy worms. Don't give them candy. You know, give them trail mix. And that upset their stomach. I didn't know that.
The trail mix upset their stomach?
Yeah, it was bran. So I think it's not good to give little kids bran.
It's like you should have given him prunes. You might as well give Velveeta.
You would have made a couple bucks. You had all those cases of them in your house. There was a time you came to see me in a club, and there was a Kimmy Gibbler joke in a song that I used to do, a music parody that I can't do anymore. It's not appropriate, nor do I do old stuff. I try not to. And there was a reference to Kimmy Gibbler in it, and you would, in front of the whole audience, we had it planned. And you would yell, what exactly did you say?
Well, it was F you, Mr. T, except I didn't say F. I said the actual word. But it was planned out. I always felt so mean yelling that. But you wanted, you planned it out, and it was a bit. And the audience would always go crazy. They thought it was a funny thing.
Well, it was because it's you telling me off, you know. It's because me, because people, to be taken literally for things that you're playing around with. But the world has understandably changed because those things, especially when it comes to kids. I did not ever think about that stuff because the last thing in the world I would do would do something that would hurt a kid, you know, especially the kids
I
worked
never
with.
I never took offense to anything that you ever said because I knew it was said in jest, and it was a part of the bit, your routine and your comedy bit. And I was never even close to being offended or uncomfortable. I always played along with it because it was funny. I mean, you're Bob, you're Danny Tanner, and you're doing your, you know, your blue comedy. And that's part of the bit, you know, it's part of the comedy, and it's brilliant. You're so funny when you're in your zone and you're up there and you're on a roll and you're just going, it's really incredible to watch. And I'm excited to come see your new bits now that you're not doing the old bits. I got to see your new bits.
You'll see my new bits.
Bad. I don't
that
see
sounds
it.
Like a British expression. I want to see your new bits. Show me your little bits.
Show me your bits.
I want you to do my podcast every day because this is a very unusually aggrandizing summation of me. Now, do you have any urges to act in anything? Do you have your agent looking for anything, and just if something came along and it was special, would you do it?
Yeah, I'm doing, like, I'm out there. I'm doing self-tapes right now. And I'm doing a Nickelodeon show. Do you remember David Arnold, who was a writer on Fuller House?
Of course.
He has a new show for Nickelodeon called That Girl Lele. So I play the principal for the show. I'm not on every episode, but I'm doing 5 for this season, 5 episodes. So it's like if Kimmy Gibbler were the principal of a high school, that's what my character is. It's so fun. Like, and it's Nickelodeon. So it's just silly and it's kids and we get splattered with slime and food and stuff. And it's a blast. So that's what I'm doing this summer. It's, you know, trying to figure out how to act again after 18 months. Like I forgot how to be funny. It's been 18 months.
You're not alone. I mean, I was able to do one thing. I did a movie in the Cayman Islands, and I'm just lucky that that happened because very few got to get out and work. And
yeah.
What I love about you is some people would lead with I'm on this new show and here's my story and here's my pitch and, you know, just tell you the name of the show. And it's like, so what's the name of the show?
It's called That Girl Lele.
You told me, but that is a hard thing to remember.
It's hard to remember. It took me a long time to remember it too.
And when does it come on Nickelodeon?
September. The premiere's been pushed back. It was going to be July, and then they had to push it to September.
All right. So you're on it. And are you like Kimmy? I mean, do they have to pay Full House royalties?
No. There's no references to Kimmy, but it is very much like, well, it's Nickelodeon. So, you know, the kids are the stars and the adults are kind of idiots. So I'm this principal that pretends to be cool and wants to be like accepted by the kids and to be the fun principal, but I'm really just a joke. Like I'm just like the clueless principal where people are breaking rules behind me. The kids are like stealing vending machines right behind me and I'm completely clueless and unaware. So it's a funny principal, not Kimmy Gibbler, but you'll see shades of Gibbler type humor.
But now you know what it feels like to be Danny Tanner, to be gone for an episode and then come home and Kimmy's there with DJ and Steph and Michelle and they're all doing something terrible, which isn't terrible at all. They're just up late playing music. You know, they're not doing what normal kids do that's truly terrible, like putting holes in a wall and firing off guns. You know, the normal stuff in America.
Yeah.
But that's what I would always do it. And my big line, I even talked about it on the Arsenio Hall show once, was, what's going on? I would walk and I put it on a mug.
What's going on?
And I couldn't remember it. Couldn't remember the line. So I'd write it on the door frame of the door. I'd be waiting for my moment.
We could do a compilation of places where Bob has written his lines. I feel like that should be a bit. Because there would be door frames or any sort of prop that you could write on. You would write your lines on. I mean, we all hid our scripts in the couch cushions or the kitchen island drawers. Like we all had our places where we would hide our scripts. But you were tricky. You would write them, I don't know, wherever you could. It's great. That's a good tactic.
I wrote them on a pencil once and I picked up the pencil and I went, honey, you know, I don't know what we're going to have for breakfast. And then I'd pick up a frying pan. I love you so much. Literally with real dialogue, it would be written on like four things. I'd open a cabinet to get the milk, you know, oh, the casserole will be ready soon. It's things like that I can't remember. If it's real emotion, I can remember it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's great. I think that's really clever. I wish I had thought of that sooner.
It's clever and senile.
I think it's brilliant. Yeah. I think it's brilliant. Can we talk about the chapstick for a minute? Because I've been telling this story to people about your chapstick quirk.
Please tell me, because I actually don't know what it is.
You don't know. You have to. You're not aware, but how you need, before every show, you need to see the makeup artist open a brand new package of chapstick. And then you were doing like COVID measures before COVID, because you were like, I need a brand new chapstick and it's only mine. Like no other actor. You can't use this chapstick on any other actor.
What's wrong with that? Just, I mean,
that's smart.
But back in the day, there was a herpes thing going on and there was not on our show, but I didn't want my chapstick used on Dave or John. I mean, not saying they had anything cause they didn't, cause God knows I made out with both of them many times, but yeah, I have my own chapstick and my own sponge for makeup.
My own brush. That's just hygienic. Like, I think that's smart. It's smart, but I love that. I love that about you, that you were like, I want to watch you open the new package of chapstick because you didn't trust anybody.
I mean, I didn't do it like a mean way. Open it for me.
No. But that was just, the makeup artist would know you and they're like, okay, here's Bob's chapstick. I'm going to open it today. I love it. I think it's endearing and it's hygienic and it's smart.
What else valuable did you learn from me?
That's my takeaway from 35 years of friendship is chapstick hygiene. That's what I take away from our friendship.
Do you remember? That's all I had to offer. Do you remember? Well, first thing, we were always there for each other. So that's the other thing. Sometimes there'll be a group text of the cast and it'll be like, did you hear about so-and-so passing away?
Yeah.
And we'll all chime in.
Yeah.
And then Dave will say something funny, even though some people might find it offensive. It's only meant to loosen up our sadness.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
It's a gift. It's a gift that you guys have is the ability to make people laugh and during difficult times. You know, that's a gift.
And we always shared that. But I always was jealous. I think you were closer to Dave. I think you and Dave were like besties. Is that right?
Dave and I were, yeah, we're still pretty close. I don't know if we were besties, but I was, yeah. It's a toss up who I was closest to. Maybe Dave had a little bit of an edge over the rest of you, but that, I mean, it's nothing personal. Now I feel bad. Now I feel guilty.
Well, do you think Joey and Kimmy just had similar personalities because they were carefree and silly and did things to sometimes make other people laugh, but also maybe give them a little bit of a once, give them a little bit of trouble. Whereas Danny was an innocent, but Bob is not. Andrew, you got to help me. I'm talking in third person about myself.
I want to throw you a life raft, and you're too far out. You're too far out.
I've dug so many holes in this podcast, and my dinghy is just not going to find land.
Don't talk about your dinghy, please.
Not that dinghy. I never even called it a dinghy. I've called it everything but a dinghy. This is what people will use. Can you believe he said that?
Can you believe he said dinghy? I know. It's you can't win. You can't win, so you just have
to
beat
yourself.
Well, you
can win by putting out love, and you can win and by being a good person. And
you
that's
are.
That and you are. You are,
we are
a really great person. You're just mm-hmm. one of the most honest, real people, and you put being a person before showbiz. You never acted like a weirdo. You're just a solid, great person, and your kids reflect it, and God bless your mom, and your dad is, please send him my love.
I will. I see him almost every day when I can. He's, he loves to come over and fix things around my house, and, you know, he's fixing my sprinklers outside right now. He's good. As long as he's staying busy, he's good. So
is there a dating app for people in his age range?
No, Bob, no. That is it's the not, furthest you, thing from his mind.
Do you know
He'll
what it's called?
That.
It's called Grumble.
Grumble. Oh, my God.
Grumble.
Bob,
it's just
Bob.
Like older people just trying to talk to each other. What do you like in a person? Well, I like to be able to sit up. You know, what do you like to eat? Very soft food.
Where'd you have dinner at 4:30? All the dates. All their dates are at like 4 p.m. in the afternoon. That's great. They can go to bed by 8. It's perfect.
It's really great. So what time do you go to bed? 8:30. I'd love to meet you, but 8:30 is a little late. No, that's when she goes to bed. So that's okay. Well, maybe we can... Maybe you and I can start an app for people that are in
his
age.
Let's start a Grumble. Yeah, let's start Grumble.
I think it's Grumble because they complain a little bit and their grandparents.
It's the get off my lawn generation. Yeah, they're grumblers.
Your dad's fixing your sprinklers. They better get off the lawn.
Get off my lawn, right? Oh, Bob.
I don't do that. That's why I have gates.
Oh, okay.
You know. I don't want people on my lawn.
No.
Well, I love you. Bob. Thank you for doing my podcast.
Oh, yeah. Are we done? Is there another commercial break?
No.
Like I could make another pizza during the commercial break.
No, we talked. You could have made 9 pizzas. You could have made those little mini ones. You could have taken a prune and wrapped it in Velveeta and made soup. Prune and Velveeta
That's
soup.
What, That'll be the title of this episode. It's prune soup. Prunes and cheese.
It'll be talk about Full House, Fuller House, your book, and then prunes and Velveeta. That'll be the last, because that's a great button. I mean,
that'll hook them. That'll hook the audience. They will have to hear about for prunes.
Yeah. And Velveeta is cheese-ish.
It's cheese adjacent. Yes. Cheese adjacent.
Adjacent, I think, is the word that became extremely popular in 2019. And then it is stuck. It is not gone yet.
I like it. I use it all the time.
Right.
Adjacent, it's a very useful word. Just like you're fact adjacent. I'm prune adjacent. We're all,
oh man.
This is great. I'm very happy for your success of this podcast.
Oh,
yeah.
You silly.
I'm honored that you asked me to be on it, even though it took you 101 episodes.
It did.
I'm so
take
honored.
Me, it did. No, you're right. You're right.
But I didn't even know you had a podcast. Like, that's how out of it I am. I didn't know you had.
No, you're
a
not.
Podcast.
No, you're not. You just look at the number top 10 shows, and I'm not listed. So you don't look at your phone.
I'm going to download. I'm going to subscribe. I'm your newest
subscriber. Subscribe. Okay. People want to subscribe and listen, or they can follow and listen. Depends on if you're on Apple or if you're on Spotify. It's on every platform. It's at the train station on a platform.
It's on the Harry Potter 9¾ platform. It's there
too.
Wow.
I loved when he turned things into things with his little wand. Well, what are you going to do now? Oh, you got to have dinner. We talked a long time.
Dinner. Oh, okay. No, but we had a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we did.
I need to feed my children. They're probably like, when are we eating?
Do you feed them food at a table, or do you put down like a trowel?
It's more like a trough. It's a trough.
Is
yeah,
it
it's
a trough. Trough is trowel not a word?
I don't know what a trowel is. I think trowel is like
a bad day with the language.
I think isn't a trowel like a shovel or a tool? I don't know. I'm going to Google
know.
It as soon as we hang up. Let's say it was a trowel trough. I'm going to feed them from my trowel trough and I don't know. I need a new show to watch. I finished John's show. I finished Mare of Easttown.
Big Shot is so good.
It's so good.
Mare was so good.
Mare was so good. Very different shows.
I just watched the end of Handmaid's Tale, the last episode. That's a real, if you're having a rough day, that's a real relaxing show.
That'll lift you up anytime.
Oh my gosh. Gilead. No thanks. But, go live and be and do. And, I love you so much, Andrea.
I love you too, Bob. Thank you for inviting me into your space here. And it was just lovely. I'm so happy for your success and always a joy to talk to you.
Oh my God, you're so adorable and wonderful. All right, now I want to hug you. So we'll all see each other soon. That's the plan. We'll do something.
Let's have dinner or crash Jeff's or something.
We'll do both. We'll crash Jeff's and then I'll go to dinner.
Okay.
I got to get out of here. There's too many sharks in the tank. He has sharks in his tanks.
He does. Yeah, he has living shark tank. They're babies, though. They're like little sharks.
Yeah, I think they're so. They might not be anymore. It's been a year and a half. We haven't been there.
Yeah. They're swimming in the pool now. They've outgrown their aquarium.
Well, that was my friend Andrea Barber, and I've known her since she's 9 or 10. It doesn't matter. We don't know any of the numbers. I've been the biggest problem in fact-checking on this episode. I love her so much. Yes, she was Kimmy Gibbler. She also wrote a book that you should read, and it's Full Circle, From Hollywood to Real Life and Back Again. And that's the cover of it. And she's on a new Nickelodeon show, which I think you're going to want to watch. It's That Girl Lele, and it's on Nickelodeon, and it starts in September. So keep watching for my sweet friend and such a good person, Andrea Barber. And you know what to do. Rate, review, subscribe. Follow, however you get this. Take care of yourselves. Be good to yourselves. And sending you guys lots of love. All right. That was a Full House moment. Bye.
My fiancé surprised me with an engagement ring from Shane Company. A simple solitaire ring with a beautiful oval diamond. I love it. I had a vision of what I wanted to do with the wedding bands to create my own look and add even more sparkle. Shane Company has so many options, so it was easy to bring it to life. I got two bands. I selected a diamond contour band to go on one side of my engagement ring and a delicate vintage band to go on the other. It's a unique ring stack and it fits my style. It's totally me. My fiancé got his wedding band at Shane Company too. I had no idea what he'd gravitate to because he never wears jewelry. He tried on lots of rings. Turns out, he really liked a black tantalum band. It's masculine and unique and it suits his personality. The wedding is really soon and I can't wait to wear my gorgeous new rings every day.
Now you have a friend in the jewelry business. Shane Company and ShaneCo.com.